May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 671. 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671.
Thank you. help us this evening in reading from his holy word, prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 32, and commencing at the sixth verse. Prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 6. And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came upon me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it, and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which hath set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and hast made thee a name as at this day, and hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders, and with strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold, the mount, they are come into the city to take it, and the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it. because of the sword, and of the famine, and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given to the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses, upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city have been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face, because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof ye say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say, it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money, and subscribe evidences, and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, and in the cities of the mountains, and in the cities of the valley, and in the cities of the south. for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. May the Lord bless that portion of his holy word and help us in prayer. Dear Lord, as we come before thee at the time of the evening sacrifice, do help us to come before thee, Lord, in a simple, straightforward way, pleading and begging that thou wilt show mercy. That, Lord, we come before thee as lost, fallen, wretched, undone sinners. But we come before thee, seeking that thou wilt send a word to encourage, to help, to lift us up, to take us on in the journey that we have before us. And Lord, thou knowest we each have a different journey. Whilst there may be that common journey of faith, Lord, it is to be worked out in us each in a different way. And Lord, the way is uncertain so often before us, but we are thankful that, Lord, thou art in control of it, for thou art the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. So, Lord, if the way is uncertain, but thou art the way, help us to look unto thee in that hidden way before us. Lord, we do pray that thy word may be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. O Lord, we see the dark nights coming early now, this time of year in the northern hemisphere. And Lord, darkness descends, and we need the light to see the way. And so it is, Lord, in our circumstantial matters that we need thee to shine upon the way. And it is our prayer this night, that should there be a poor soul needing thy leading in a particular matter, that they will see, even as the children of Israel did, yes, that fire by night, the cloudy pillar by day, the fire by night. Lord, that it can be clearly seen the direction in which thou wilt have us to go, that we walk in the right pathways. Lord, we do pray thou wilt be with us this evening. We do pray that, Lord, thou wilt be with us in the service, and thou wilt be with us in the communion service afterwards. Lord, do help a friend, Lord, as he, Lord, has been led to come and put thee on in an open profession. And Lord, do help him in, joining the church here. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with him in this new walk, in this new pathway. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt truly bless this church and people. Lord, it is a blessing that, Lord, one taken to be with thee as we believe truly. And yet, Lord, thou shalt surely recover all, and that gap has been filled. And Lord, we pray that the work may go on, and there will be souls that will witness this event tonight, and Lord, that it will stir up within them those right thoughts in, Lord, obedience to the way that the Lord has laid down. And that they will realize that given strength of him, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, may it be so, Lord. And Lord, we do pray thou would remember the deacons, our friend giving out the hymns this evening. Lord, do bless and help him, Lord, in that solitary pathway, in his sad pathway at this time. And we think at this time of year, Lord, it's a difficult time for him and for the dear family. We pray for them each, Lord, that thou wilt draw close and be with them. But oh, what a comfort to feel that their dear one is with the Lord. Oh, Lord, we do pray thou would help them. We pray for both the deacons, Lord, in their exercises and their burdens regarding this house of God. And the burdens are many. But, Lord, that they might lay these things up before thee, and thou wilt support and help them. And, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with this people in their future paths and guide and direct their steps in all matters. Lord, we do plead that thou wilt encourage the dear friends and help them, Lord, to continually pray. Lord, that they might pray that where those Bibles have gone and been picked up, that they are going into houses and being read, and the Lord's work is being done through them, that they might pray for the people in this village and in Over and the surrounding villages, that they might pray, Lord, that Zion's children will yet come. Lord, we can't paint a certain picture of a God-fearing soul, no. Lord, it's those that thou wilt bring. Lord, may we lose. We speak rightly here, but as it were, denominationalism. And look, Lord, to Jesus in these things, that thou wilt bring in those that are thine. Lord, yes, and we might welcome them in. And Lord, that might be that right prayer offered up in these things. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt then work in the local villages. We pray, Lord, for that in the courts of Zion, round and about, that, Lord, thou wilt bring in thy dead elect. Lord, we plead that we shall see those better days in Zion. Lord, we pray then, remember us in these things. We do plead, Lord, that thou wilt favour this dear people, and that they might prove thou art their God. Oh, one says, Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Oh, that there may be one brought to life to have to say, surely the Lord is in this place, and now I know it. I've proved it. I felt it. Oh, Lord, do work. I will work, and who will let it? Lord, it's wonderful when thou dost work and the power of God is seen in the midst. We pray, Lord, that thou would encourage those that are struggling. Oh, Lord, there are those times in the pilgrimage when it feels as if we cannot take another step. There are those times when it's dark and it's desperate and it's difficult, and Lord, all these things seem to be counting against us, and Lord, our faith seems to be so tried, and what little is, Lord, it seems to sometimes be as if it's going to go out, that little flame. But Lord, we pray that thou would encourage a poor believer tonight, that thou would help such a one to continue. Lord, we pray that thou would be then with those poor, weak believers, that they might be encouraged in the Lord. And Lord, we pray that souls will go home, as our friend mentioned in prayer, go home rejoicing, because the word of the Lord has been heard in the place tonight and has entered in. Lord, do open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, such as there may not be room enough to receive it. And Lord, we think of this too. Do bless any that are listening in, Lord, because they cannot be here. And do use the means, Lord, as we know thou hast, for those that cannot be here. And Lord, we pray that there may be those showers of blessing poured down upon the souls as they gather. Oh, Lord Jesus, come. Come, dear Jesus. Even so, come quickly. Lord, maybe a poor soul's prayed that. Well, do come, Lord. Oh, we pray thou would come into their pathway, meet their case. Lord, there's many cases before thee tonight, but thou knowest what they are in need of. Touch it, Lord. Touch the very kernel of the matter. We do pray that they will prove the Lord has favoured them. And it's been that time to bless and favour Zion. Remember thy servants that stand on Zion's walls tonight. Help them and equip them and bless them. Enable them to preach Jesus. Enable them, Lord, to speak well of their Lord and Saviour. And to hold thee high upon the gospel pole. Lord, we pray for enabling grace to do it. We are poor, sinful men that stand in the pulpits. Lord, we need thee to come. Lord, do graciously help and help us this evening. And Lord, open up thy word. Do, Lord, remember those that have been afflicted, those that are afflicted, those in afflictions, dispensations amongst the dear friends here. Poor and afflicted, Lord, are thine. Amongst the great unfit to shine. But oh, the world should think it strange, they would not with the world exchange. Lord, be with the afflicted ones. I leave in the midst of thee a poor and afflicted people. Yes, but these are the ones I will draw. These are the ones I will show my tender love to. These are the ones that will prove that I am going before them. Yes, Lord, be with the afflicted souls. We do pray. Do remember the children, Lord, and the young people, those with their homeschooling, those that go to school. Lord, we pray thou would be with them each. And, Lord, help them in their learning and provide for them. And, Lord, do bless the Sunday school and those that teach in the Sunday school. Give wisdom, knowledge, help and guidance. Lord, we do pray for the young friends. And Lord, we do beg that thou wilt bless them abundantly and keep them fast by thy maidens in the house of God. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with those parents, Lord, trying to bring their children up according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's no easy thing in the period that we live in now. But Lord, help them. Lord, hear, answer prayer. Lord, go before them. And guide and direct their steps in it all. Be with those, Lord, in older age. We do pray and bless them and appear for them, the retired. Lord, those that are 70 and 10 and beyond. Those, Lord, that perhaps feel the earthly tabernacle is fading a little. Lord, we pray that their eyes will be unto thee. Lord, be with them then. And all ages, generations here tonight. Lord, we do plead for thy presence and help to go before them. Oh, what an enabling God thou art. And Lord, we beg and plead that it may have been a true gospel day in Zion and will yet be. And Lord, that the favour of the Lord will be known in the midst and in the congregations. Lord, we pray for our land and nation. Lord, do forgive the sins of this nation. Lord, we pray that thou wilt turn us again and we shall be turned. Lord, the iniquity that goeth up our street, down our streets. Lord, we've come so far from thee. Lord, we seem to want to appease all these groups, Lord, that believe in those things that are contrary to thy word. And Lord, man seems to be, Lord, well, like he was really back in the days of Noah. And there's that nothing but pleasure is what will satisfy. Oh, Lord, do come yet for our nation and remember us, we plead. Lord, we pray now that we might leave these things, and Lord, that we might come to thy word. Lord, we feel so empty in it, and Lord, we pray that thou wilt really open the ears of a few poor souls here tonight to hear the word, and Lord, open our mouth wide and fill it. We plead these things in the forgiveness of our many sins, and we would praise thee and honour thee for all thy mercies. We seek it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 765, and does thy heart for Jesus pine, and make its secret moan, he understands the sigh divine, and marks a secret groan. Hymn 765.
come again, Lord, in friends, in complete dependence upon the Lord for help in time of need. And the word in our mind which we would direct you to is Jeremiah 32, the chapter that we read, verse 27. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Prophecy of Jeremiah is a solemn prophecy in many ways, friends, because he prophesies against the idols that have been raised up by the Israelites and Judah, and how that they serve those things rather than serving the Lord. And yet, you know, the latter part of this chapter, where there's such a marvellous bringing out of how the Lord will be kind and gracious to his people and will bring them back to Jerusalem here, he's talking of, following the many years, it was 70 years in fact, that Jerusalem would be under a Babylonish captivity. But I will return them. And there are many precious promises in the latter part of this chapter, that Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, indeed as he wept over Judah and all their sins, but the weeping prophet was able to bring forth these promises, and there's some beautiful words in them. But, friends, may we just trace out a little of what's happened here. Here is a man that the king has put into prison. Here is a prophet that the king does not like the message that the prophet brings, and he puts him into prison. Now, friends, let's put this in our own mind. Have you ever put the minister into prison? I want to speak in a sense of a metaphorical sense. He's come, he's delivered a word, and you don't like what you hear, and you want to put him away and not listen to what he says. Friends, if you've not done it, I tell you this poor sinner's done it. No, don't come with that message. Even when they announce the text, I don't want that message, Lord. Because that message sometimes prods and pokes at our heart, at our experience, and it makes us feel a little uncomfortable in the seat. Have you ever sat in the seat and thought, I can't sit still? Friends, when the Spirit works, this is it. This is it. I feel it's like that which we read of Samson. The Spirit began to move him. And when the Spirit moves us, friends, we know when the Lord's servant has come with a word that's uncomfortable for us, but it's from the Lord. We also know when he's come with a word of comfort. And it's from the Lord. And we feel uncomfortable in that way, don't we? Because we can't sit there because we're so overwrought with love to the dear Lord in bringing his servant with the very word that we need at that time. So there is Jeremiah then. He's been in prison because of the truthful words that he's saying. And he's in prison there. But he's got to buy a piece of land. Because the Lord has made it clear, we read it in our reading, to go and buy this piece of land at this place called Anathoth, which is 3 miles outside of Jerusalem in the country of Benjamin. He's got to go and buy that piece of land. Now this area, Anathoth, is already under the Chaldean rule. It's already in Babylonish captivity. Why would you buy a piece of land when The enemy have come in and taken it. Why would you do that? And Jeremiah doesn't know why he's been instructed to do it. I know he's been left it in the sense as one of those that could refuse to buy it under the redemption laws that were there in the Old Testament. But he says, the word of the Lord came to me, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, buy thee the field that is in Anathoth. Yes, the guidance of the Lord was to show him that he must buy this land. Oh, what a poor investment. Why would you buy a piece of land when it's going already been overtaken? This is 588, 587 before Christ, and a year or so later, Jerusalem would fall to the Chaldeans. This, in the history, at the time, it was not a sensible thing to do, to buy the land, but the Lord instructed it. The Lord showed that it was his timing that the land should be bought for future generations, for the benefit of those that would come back. And that and we read in one of the verses 15, that houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. What a word of prophecy. And so it was revealed to Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah wonders, why is it that I've had to buy this land at this time? How often do you and I wonder, why, Lord? Why is one of the questions I feel we so often ask the Lord. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Oh, why, Lord? Why is it that I'm walking in this pathway? Why is it that I've got these trials and these troubles before me at this time? Why is it that the pathway is so hard and so difficult for me? Why is it that I do not feel to have the faith that thy elect seem to have? Why is it that others seem to walk on so much strongly, more strongly than I do in the ways of following thee and in their belief? Why is it that I don't have the confidence? Well, friends, I'm going to say it, to come forward and to speak of what the Lord has done. Why? Why? Yes, the many whys that we come with. Well, listen to what Jeremiah did. When I had delivered the evidence of the purchase in verse 16 unto Baruch the son of Neriah, this is what he did. I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God. Oh, friends, the R's. We love that, don't we? We know sometimes we can't say any words. It's just, Ah, Lord, thou knowest where I am. Ah. Well, as we come in the background to the text, really, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. There's nothing that is too hard for thee. You know, the very words that the Lord gives him in answer to his prayer are the words that he prayed. It's like the prayer bounced back from the Lord, but with the Lord's blessing upon it. He says here that there is nothing too hard for thee in verse 17. And then in our text, when we get to it, is there anything? The Lord asked the question, is there anything too hard for me? Yes, there is nothing too hard for thee, was a statement given in prayer. And the Lord comes back. Isn't that wonderful, friends? That the Lord does answer him in that way. But he needed to know, you see, that the Lord would deliver them in due course, and why he'd bought the land. Well, buy the land, take witnesses, for the city is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans, but it must be for the promises that we've mentioned earlier, that I will bring them back, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Jeremiah did not live to see these things, but the future generations did. It must be done. It was right to buy the land. Well, friends, that's the background to the text. May we come to it. Behold, look on and see. See the evidence. I am the Lord. There's so much power with the Lord, friends, and power is not in a loud voice. Power is not when the servant of God may talk loudly, friends, and we each have got different gifts in that way. Power belongeth unto God, and power is, as our friend prayed in the vestry, when the word enters the heart. Have you known that power in your soul, in your experience, when the word enters in? Friends, I might put it like this. It doesn't bounce off the pew. It goes right in. Or it doesn't bounce off your arm or off your chest. It goes in, and it goes in deep. And this, he giveth us a soft heart before the Lord. We're softened. We may have come into chapel with the hardest of hard hearts. We may have come into chapel really feeling, friends, and I want to be careful how I put it, but really feeling almost that we're, as it were, in a dead place, and is there a God? Is there a God? Oh, friends, and sometimes we're brought to that place. You know, I believe one of the most blessed occasions, if I speak rightly regarding myself, was when I was brought into such trouble in my soul and providence. Friends, it's so solemn to name this. But it's where the Lord sometimes, I wonder if you've ever been there. I felt this. I felt a hatred towards God. How solemn, friends. You say, what, you standing in the pulpit? Yes, friends. What a morning. I felt a Sunday morning. I felt such a hatred because everything was going wrong and I could see no hope for me. But as I entered into chapel, I have never been to a service where every hymn and the prayer and the reading and the sermon, it was, friends, everything. There was something for me. Not just a morsel. We love just to take away a morsel. Friends, the whole service, such a blessed occasion. I don't know that, it would be wonderful if we ever had it again. But you see, friends, it was like this. The word preached from, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, and it was such a blessed occasion, and so many things were touched on. And we were completely broken down. You know, friends, we came away from that service. We couldn't hardly speak to anybody. We got home and we put on our knees and we said, Lord, we love thee. Please forgive my sins of hating thee. Ah, I wonder if one knows what it is to walk in this contrary pathway. To love the Lord and yet at times feel that animosity towards him as well. Oh, can it be so? Yes, yes, because you know that flesh that is with us. Well, friends, feel to be preaching from the text, do we? But we must go as we're led. But I am the Lord. Yes, what I was referring to, the entering in of the word. I am the Lord. And when the word, Lord's word enters in, we know it. We know it, friends. Behold, look on, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Well, is a man or a woman that's against you? You children at school, if you've got someone who's bullying you, or those that are at home that were struggling with your studies, is there something that worries you? Oh, you know, you might have a hard subject, but the Lord knows all these things. Those at work, those retired, we need someone to be moved to do something for us. All men's hearts are in his hand. I don't know what it is that you've got. I don't know anything about you, but I know this. Power belongeth unto God. Watch and pray. See his hand. See what he will do for you, because the word is before us. And I verily believe it. The God of all flesh, those men, those women, that person, whatever it is, there, but clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. And if he is to move them to work for you, he will. And if you prayed for it, friends, pray on. Because I am the God of all flesh. The God of all flesh. Is there anything, anything too hard for me? Is there anything that I cannot do for my people? Is there anything that I cannot be asked to do for them, subject to my will, that I will do? Ask what thou wilt, it shall be done. Oh, friends, it's walking it out, I know. But how beautiful is this word? Is there anything too hard for me? In other words, too difficult for me, the Lord, to do. Me, the God who created the earth, who built it in 6 days in perfection. Is there anything for me that has made a way for you in the past? Open those doors that seem to be locked. Is there anything that I cannot do for you? Oh, poor soul, I know your faith. If it's anything like mine at times, it says, yes, Lord, this matter's impossible and I can't see how thou canst do it. I can't see how thou wilt possibly make a way for me in this way. Prayer can force a passage through, friends. Iron bars and brazen gates. Have you ever proved it? Have you ever proved it in times past? Oh, friends, his love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. No, he must deliver. His way, not your way. But he must deliver. He will deliver. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Anything that I'm incapable of doing? What's the answer to the question? Yes, what's the answer to the question? No, Lord, there's nothing too hard for thee. You know, he'll bring us here. He'll ask us this question. Has he asked you this question in your pathway? Have you got that before you even now at this time? Is it too hard for him to do that thing? Is it too hard for him to stretch out arm and to save you? Are you too much of a fallen sinner? Have you backslidden too far that you can never be brought back? Ah, friends, that you might find that ransom for your soul that we tried to speak a little of this morning so poorly, but I have found a ransom. You know, and the deepest, darkest, desperate sinner will find a ransom in his time. And that is impossible. Friends, the most impossible thing is that you or I should ever be saved. Utter impossibility, because we can do nothing towards it. We could be the most diligent person in prayer and in religion, but unless it's given of the Lord, unless that same spirit that came upon Samson that we were talking about comes upon you and me, we've got nothing at all. Nothing, friends. And we have to realise it. We need the spirit of the Lord to move us at times in the camp, between the camp of Dan and as we read there regarding him, the spirit of the Lord. And you'll know it when the spirit's upon you, friends. Because you cannot turn away from what he will have you to do. I will instruct. And teach thee in the way in which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. Oh, friends, you know, it's so wonderful to realise the power of God sometimes. And we feel it in the pulpit, and I'm sure you feel it in the pew. And then you get outside and it starts to be tested, doesn't it, on a Monday morning in your work or Monday morning in your retirement, whatever it is, friends. And you start to feel, well, that was a word yesterday, but now I've got to walk it out. Yes, friends. We know that what that is. But you know, God hasn't changed since the time of the service the night before. Nothing's changed with him. That power is still with him. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Oh, what are your hard things tonight, friends? I wonder what they are, the things that are too hard for you. I wonder if you had a piece of notepaper and you jot them down, how many there would be. It might be there's one. Or it might be there's a whole list. A piece of notepaper, friends, it's a good note for a prayer, isn't it? A prayer prompt. Ah, friends, Oh, take it home, ponder the word. What's too hard? What is it that's too hard for you that you cannot stand, you cannot cope with, you cannot go on with? It's not too hard for him. Such a beautiful word, you know, in Deuteronomy, if I can find that word. It's in my mind. Yes, it is this. The cause that is too hard, that is the matter. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. This is the word, this is the Lord speaking through Moses, the words through Moses to the children of Israel. The cause, the purpose, the reason, that's what a cause is. It's too hard for you. You brought something in, have you, tonight? Those listening in, you've got something. It's too hard, too difficult, too complex. Yes, the cause that is too hard for you. Don't try and work it out for yourself, friend. Bring it unto me. I will hear it. Now, the Lord doesn't say how he'll resolve it, but I will hear it. Providence, grace, the two mixed together. I will hear it. Yes. And friends, so it is. We think of that wonderful deliverance. The child of promise must be given. Sarah, she's old and she laughs within herself. No different to you and me. Our faith is such that we can't see how we can be delivered in the straits that we come into sometimes. Oh, friends, we do. Let's be honest. We laugh within our tent, that is, within our house. You laughed at God, have you? Friends, have you laughed? Now this. The hymn writer says, faith laughs. Yes, faith laughs at impossibilities and says, it shall be done. Give me such solid, give me more faith, more solid faith, more confidence in thee. Oh, you know, our dear pastor Peter Cottenham, he used to quote that nearly every Sunday. And friends, I thought, you know, some might say, well, repetitious stuff. Repetition. Oh, what a prayer. What a prayer, friends. Give me more faith, more solid faith, more confidence in thee. Because that's it. Oh, we might have natural confidence, but I tell you this, friends, if you're going to follow the Lord, he'll knock it out of you. And those things that you found so possible and so easy, all of a sudden they're impossible for you because he's going to have you to lean and to lean harder upon him. Yes, not on your own strength and your own abilities. But, oh, you see, she laughed within herself, laughing at the angel of the Lord and what he said. And I'm ashamed to say this as a sin too. Friends, our sins, we talked of them this morning and how they add up. What another sin this is, that we've laughed almost at the promises of God in our heart that we hope we've had. Perhaps when we get into that time, we believe them when perhaps they seem to be sealed upon our heart, and then when we're walking them out, the devil comes in and our own lack of faith and unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. And that unbelief that comes in, that Cowper knew something of in that hymn, and it comes in and we end up feeling very much like that, that it will never come to pass. Lord, I can't see this happening. Friends, I will tell you, I've said those words before the Lord. Lord, I can't see this will ever come to pass. And the thing has happened. And the thing has come to pass. And we've had to see it. And we've had to pray a prayer of confession. Yes, a prayer of thanks and gratitude. But a prayer of confession. Lord, I was so sinful in not believing thy word and thy promise to me. Well, shall I for surety bear a child which am old? And the angel said, is anything too hard for the Lord at the time appointed? I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. I shall return at the time appointed. What a beautiful word that is. You know, my dear dad spoke of that word in Staplehurst, December 1988. Yes, and we had a concern at the time. And how we've had to walk it out. The thing that was too hard, the Lord has brought to pass. And oh, friends, we look on it and how it reflects, we hope, a little in our souls, although we get much tried as you do. But, oh, he does these things. The impossible made possible. And friends, I tell you what, as children walking on, we sang it this morning, Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bid you undismayed go on. Or perhaps this afternoon, actually, we sang that. Sorry, as I'm getting muddled between the services, but it's a beautiful hymn, 267. And, you know, we will prove that there are those things that we come up against, those things that come in the pathway. Yes, but he has all power. And he will work it his way. I wonder sometimes how much I wonder how much I really believe in my heart the scriptures. I wish I did. That the God of all flesh. And I see that in the beasts. I see that in the beasts of the field as well. And friends, don't they teach us something? And I thought of Balak and Balaam. And I thought of the ass. Oh, you children. Two creatures that spoke in the Bible. One of them spoke the snake in temptation. One of them spoke under the power of the Lord, the ass. Oh, friends, both sides of the equation. Both sides, one of them spoke to tempt. Oh, and Adam and Eve, as you know, fell of the tree of life that the serpent spoke. And the other creature, the ass that spoke. You see, the God of all flesh, the God of animal flesh as well as human flesh. Oh, there's so much teaching in this for us, if only we could see it. But the ass spake unto Balaam, why have you hit me 3 times? What have I done to thee that thou hast smitten me? Yes, and there was so much teaching in this because Balaam was being shown that he could not curse God's people. He could not, though he wanted to, though Balak set him out to, though there was a reward for him financially if he did so. He couldn't do it. Oh, it was impossible for him to do it, although we do not read anywhere that he was a man of God. But he could not condemn God's people. Oh, all flesh in his hand. We see Balaam in his hand, in God's hand. We see the ass. In stopping and could not move on because he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and the sword drawn in his hand. And friends and young people, you know, the Lord can hedge up your way in such a way that you know not why you're being turned around to do something different. You know, it's the same God that sent that ass to speak to that man, to stand in the way, that the angel stood in the way of that ass to stop him proceeding. And if you're walking in a wrong path, the Lord can stop you from proceeding. And our friends, we have to prove it, some of us, how he's hedged up our ways so that we walk in the way that we are directed by him. But oh, is it too hard that your soul should be saved? Is it impossible that you, that there's hope for you? Have you committed the unpardonable sin you feel? As the enemy, is he saying to you, look, there's all these around and their faith and you don't seem to have the same belief. And you feel it's utterly impossible that ever you could get to heaven. Friends, oh, the gift of salvation of the Lord is to the most wretched, the most vile sinners. Yes, the vilest sinner out of hell. This is the text being walked out spiritually. The vilest sinner out of hell. The vilest sinner standing on the edge of hell. Peter Simmons, a minister, you know. He didn't minister many years. He was taken young. But that dear man, as a young child, he had a dream. And he was standing near the edge of hell. Friends, can you imagine it? And they're calling out the names. And he's waiting for his name. And he said, and it wasn't, and it didn't come, and it didn't come, and it didn't come. Oh, friends, he said, and then I woke up. I woke up. Oh, and it made him start to pray to the Lord that he might be amongst the saved, although he felt to be and had been in many ways a naughty child. The vilest sinner out of hell, yes, who lives to feel his or her need, is welcome. You know, it's so beautiful, the gospel. They're welcome. Oh, we turn sinners away. We would do. We look on sin. Friends, we do. And rightly, we should be repulsed by sin in that way, in others. But oh, we should do it. We should be loving and we should be kind. The Lord Jesus was. But they're welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Welcomed. Ah, that which is impossible, made possible through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are possible. You know, the Lord preached this about salvation himself. I think we read it in Matthew that his disciples were amazed because the Lord Jesus spoke of how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of heaven, particularly for a rich man. Those who are not necessarily rich in money, I see this, rich in the things of this life. And rich in the desire for money. And friends, I tell you what, that's not far from you or me. We need to be very humbled not to be amongst them. Well, what does he say? Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, which was a needle into the city, which was much lower than a camel's height, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. His disciples, they were exceedingly amazed, and they said, who then can be saved? And perhaps that's where you are tonight, poor sinner. Who then can be saved? If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Oh, and it is the only way to salvation. Well, the Lord Jesus then, having given those examples, says this. Jesus beheld them. He knew what they were pondering. He knows if you're pondering this, friends. How can I possibly be saved? I would encourage a poor sinner tonight that he's really trembling in these things. And they look on others and they feel I've got no faith, no strength. He knows. He knows. Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them. And he said unto them, with men this is impossible. And man can't save you. And man can't draw you. And man can't help you. And man can't bring anyone. And if they are bringing someone to this place, friends, it's all going to come to naught. But God, he draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace. We cannot resist it in the day of his power. And so it is. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible, says the Lord Jesus. So, friends, in the matters of grace, in the matters of providence, or whatever it is, poor sinner, that you brought into Swayze Chapel tonight as a burden in your heart and you know it. And maybe there's one that really needs this word, and do bless the Lord if it's necessary for you tonight to go away feeling, he's doing it, he's done it. And it shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Oh, friends, what a kind and gracious Saviour there is for his dear people. I would have you to be encouraged in the word tonight. I can't encourage you. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The God of David and the God of these other ones in such impossible matters. Friends, I think of Esther. Why? We come back to our whys again. Should Esther be chosen by the king? You know, there was, for want of a better word, a beauty parade before him. Why should it be Esther? Why should it be Esther who is related Mordecai. Why should that be the case? How could the people in those days possibly, and it was after the time here of Jeremiah, is Esther, that's after this time, how could the king, why would the king have any respect to her? Why should, when the golden scepter was held out, why should he hold it out to her? Because she shouldn't have come before the king. Now we read it in the word, but with God, all things are possible. They laid up 3 days of prayer and fasting. Because the set time to favour was come, the set time for deliverance, and it was impossible to man, but it was possible only to God. You know, we read these things in the Word of God, and we think, well, that's a good story. I like that. Friends, what is it doing to us? What does it make us feel? Do we pray over them that in our own experience and in our own life, that it has some impact upon us? Because that's what we need, that time of deliverance. Friends, it all hung on one thing. That night could not the king sleep. That night, sleep was withdrawn from him. And it was that very night that the books were brought in, the books of the Chronicles. And he reads the books of the Chronicles instead of listening to the music, which normally he would. With God, all things are possible. Yes, they listened to the music. They'd play the music to the kings in those days that wouldn't sleep. No, instead, he's going to read the Chronicles. And he reads in there of how Mordecai was used to save his life. What is to be done for him? What is to be done for him? Oh, friends, this is what it is, you see. God's care for his people and how he will work his ways out. His ways are past finding out to you and I, but he will work out the right way. Oh, how little is our faith. The psalmist says this, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He's done whatsoever he's pleased. And he will do whatsoever he hath pleased. He does please until the end of time. Yes, this God of all power, of all might and of all strength. And I just named this, friends, this time in a year, and I was sweetly confirmed in this word, much burdened about whether to come with it. We had our service yesterday to sing some Christmas hymns and carols, and you know, friends, at Staplehurst, and our pastor, he brought the word, and oh, how we felt to be softened under it in Luke 1. For with God, nothing should be impossible. There's the angel. The angel has appeared unto Mary. This is impossible. How could Mary begin to understand the incarnate birth? As we come to this time of the year, to reflect on it, this Mary chosen, that the thing that is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How could she understand it? And then it was revealed to her, and oh, in the providence of God, her cousin Elizabeth, it was 6 months with her that was also called barren, for with God nothing should be impossible. And oh, how Mary, all she could say, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Friends, go home. Look at this word. May it enter into you, that you will have to say this in your heart, and in your soul, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold, the Lord is here. This, be it unto me according to thy word. And you will watch and wait and see the thing that is too hard for thee. The Lord will mend it. The Lord will heal it. The Lord will resolve it. The Lord will bring you through. As I said at the beginning, friends, watch and wait. Watch and pray, and see this beautiful hymn, the wonders God alone can do. Amen.
God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. And will the members please bring a hymn with them? And Mr. Izzard is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach next week, next Lord's Day. And there will be a church meeting on Friday the 17th of December. And the Oaken Christmas service is on this Saturday. Let us now sing hymn 688. 688. Ye that pass by, behold the man of griefs condemned for you, the Lamb of God for sinners slain, weeping to Calvary pursue. Hymn 688.
Oh,
Dear Lord, do forgive anything thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thine own word. Do help us now as we come, Lord, to the sacred service of communion. Lord, what a hymn to lead us there. Oh, how softening it is, Lord. Oh, do soften our hard hearts in these things. And do bless us each. Be with those that stay and watch, and those that leave. Remember each one in the week ahead. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.